morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
You got to think about what Comey did on Friday. I mean, imagine being so powerful that you could confess your crimes before Congress members on the record, under oath. Not in public, no, but we know what was said in the hearing because we will get the transcript, but the Republican folks who, you know, Congress members, who were there came out and told us. I mean, imagine being so powerful. You could confess your crimes before Congress on the record with no fear of criminal penalty because they all fear you and wouldn't dare move against you or the deep state. That's what Comey did on Friday. Mm-hmm. This was a stunning admission. And I kept waiting for somebody, anybody, to frame it for what it was. A lot of people said Comey admits he misled the FISA court. Well, misled. Misled is a misleading term.
Yeah, that's try that in court. For one of us, that is.
Judge, I did swear under penalty of perjury that I'd verified that dossier there, but I didn't really verify it, but I just misled you. No, that's not what the statute says. You lied under penalty of perjury. So he comes out and brazenly just admits on a record, under oath, he lied to the FISA court. He didn't use that term. But when he said, oh, that dossier, yeah, we never did verify that thing. Nope, not even when I left. By the time I left the FBI, we still hadn't verified it. Which means by the time that he signed three times the FISA warrant, which says right under the name, this, you know, information has been verified under penalty of perjury. It's right there. You can read it. He signed it. And he has no fear. Doesn't care. He doesn't have a care in the world. But you know what's amazingly is to then, you know, in the same week, literally watch Trump's attorney, Mr. Cohen, give the wrong dates for the Russia deal to Congress. He's giving the wrong dates. The Russia business building, the building in Russia deal is not a crime, involves no collusion. In fact, the record exonerates Trump of collusion because Cohen and Trump had so little contact with the Russian government. They're like, you know, they practically used 1-800 dial-a-Russian. You know, I mean, they went to the PR office of the Russian government. Like, if you wanted comment on some news story you're doing, Lee, this is the office you would go to. The Russia.gov, basically. You know, hey, get a comment from the Russian government. This is where you start. You go talk to a PR talking head. This is not back channels.
Ruskies are us.
Ruskies are us. I mean, that's basically it. That's what he did. And so, you know, the business deal was not illegal. And here's the crazy part. When Cohen gave Congress the wrong dates for the Russian business deal, right? That it had actually gone on for longer than he let on. The real dates of the Russia business deal were well known and had been widely reported.
Yeah.
So it's not like he pulled a fast one on Congress that you couldn't Google to figure out what the real dates were. So why is Cohen why did Cohen plead guilty then to perjury before Congress? And I think it's because Mueller said, look, you better. We're going to get you on the tax stuff. I think that was it. I mean, there's no crime here. Business deal wasn't illegal. I mean, what do you make of all this? This is unbelievable. The average person doesn't understand any of this, and that's what's so dangerous.
And nor will they, and it's not for lack of trying. It's because of a lack of coverage and putting things into context by the media. This is all a part of this obfuscation of the truth here to make it look like that they're, well, you know, Trump's got all kind of people around him who've been indicted, and they're going to prison and all this stuff, and he's got to be guilty. That's what they're trying to the thing that they're trying to do. And you have these shills like Adam Schiff who are getting on here talking about, well, there's serious crimes. We must be investigated. There's impeachment we've got to take a look at. There could be jail time for the president. Please.
But here's the thing, though. Judge Jeanine was talking about this over the weekend. Well, you know, can they get Trump in court on this? It's going to be very hard. If not impossible. Nobody has ever been convicted of doing what Trump did. And Trump didn't actually use campaign funds in the Stormy Daniels payments. That's one of the things they were talking about on Friday. He used his own money. Again, John Edwards used campaign funds.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get him.
And the Federal Election Commission said that wasn't a campaign finance chargeable offense.
No, it wasn't. Well, see, but so what they're doing here, though, is Mueller wrote this fantastical report about the Stormy Daniels campaign finance thing to give the Democrats cover to impeach Trump.
Right.
Knowing it is too hard for the average person to understand, and most of the media will make it so obtuse, they won't understand it anyway. And if you understand what's going on here, but basically what they did was find a guy, Cohen, who is a crook and has done a lot of crooked and criminal things with other clients that have nothing to do with Trump whatsoever. Other businesses, other clients, completely unattached to Trump. They indicted him for that. They said, look, you're facing 20 years on these charges. Or you could just tell us that Trump meant to pay off Stormy Daniels solely for political purposes. And he's taking that route, apparently. That's what it looks like. And so this is, you know, that's what has happened here. I mean, and that is a complete about face, by the way, for Cohen, who first said Trump didn't.
I still have to ask the question. If these payments were made, was this not extortion?
Looks like it to me.
I mean, not that I'm trying to defend what Trump did. If Trump had an affair with this woman, that is immoral, unethical, and reprehensible. I cannot in any way condone the behavior, and I'm not trying to. But since we're talking about, you know, justice here, if you have someone who says, I've got some information on you, and unless you pay me, I'm going to reveal this information, is that not extortion? Isn't that not a classic case of extortion?
I think, Lee, only when you do it to a Democrat.
Well,
I think that is, yes, I think that's the standard.
So if your name is Clinton, Edwards, or any other person that whose name is followed by the D for Democrat, it's not.
No. Look, Edwards had to pay that woman. I mean, she didn't have any money to support his child.
Oh, that's it. It was child support.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It was just they were helping the kid. Yeah. That's what it was. So, I mean, the odds that they're ever going to get a conviction here when they didn't get one in the Edwards case, pretty slim. But it doesn't matter. This was all designed to give the Democrats reason for impeachment.
Yeah.
And all of that is going on because Robert Mueller and James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Loretta Lynch and Barack Obama have to cover up their crimes. And the only way to do it is to get Trump first and tar him with what you were doing all the way back to Uranium One.
Yeah.
That's what's going on here. So amazing to watch. I mean, the felony that James Comey admitted to on Friday is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. And nobody seems to notice or even care, really. You know what's just crazy is watching the Republicans characterize this as Comey misled the FISA court. Listen to the Democrat rhetoric. They're afraid to use, like, oh, crimes. There were crimes. Listen to the Democrat rhetoric in contrast.
A lot of paper here tonight, but the one thing that jumped out at me is the President of the United States, individual one, directed a crime.
So right now we have a sitting President of the United States who committed two felonies.
Comey admits to committing a felony on Friday, and the Republicans are like, well, he may have misled the FISA court. We'll have to ask him again next week. No, no may have. It's real obvious. Meantime, the good news, yeah, there is some. The economy is killing it. We are killing it. Folks, everything is in place for a couple of generations of just record-breaking prosperity if we can just get the swamp out of the way. I mean, everything is lining up. It's just so much stuff that's so exciting that's going on right now. I mean, do you realize this? The U.S. just transformed, was just right now, into a net oil exporter for the first time in 75 years. Okay, 75 years. Do you remember there's so many things in the last decade that were not supposed to be? It was going to be only, I mean, you asked a decade ago. It was only going to be downhill from here. We didn't know where we were going to get our energy. Might have to figure out how to make electric work, solar work. We didn't know, but it was the end. That was it. The resources were running out. And if I had come on the air and said any different, people would shoot me down. There were a couple studies out at the time saying, hey, you know what? This oil stuff, it may be renewable. It might just keep gushing up out of the earth. Maybe you can't run out. No, that's crazy stuff. Not anymore. I mean, Obama, as recently as 2014, was telling us we couldn't drill our way to prosperity. Wrong. U.S. transfers a headline. U.S. transforms into net oil exporter for the first time in 75 years. Do you remember when a certain former president said we can't drill our way to lower gas prices? We just did. I love this. Quote, we are becoming the dominant energy power in the world, said Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research. By the way, this is before that massive find between Texas and New Mexico. largest ever oil and natural gas field that we've ever found in the country. Michael Lynch, president of Strategic Energy and Economic Research. We are becoming the dominant energy power in the world, but because the change is gradual over time, I don't think it's going to cause a huge revolution. But you do have to think that OPEC is going to have to take that into account when they think about cutting. What he means is cutting back supply to try to drive price up. It's not going to be able to do it anymore. Well, not successfully anymore. I mean, they could try. It's just unbelievable what we're seeing right now. Meanwhile, the media is trying to talk us into a recession. They and it's going to be hard because manufacturing is on fire in this country. We are shattering manufacturing expansion records, which was never supposed to happen, by the way. We were going to be a digital information society because we were never going to be able to manufacture again. Remember that? That was a lie. Everything they ever told us was a lie. All of it is crashing and burning. We can't drill our way to prosperity. Yeah, we can. They told us we couldn't even drill our way to filling up our gas tank. Yeah, we can. We did. We have. Now, listen to this. This is the head of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund. Probably the premier liberal global financial talking head. And she's on there with some bubblehead chick. I don't know who. She's on CBS, Face the Nation, right? And a bubblehead asks her, So it's been determined we have decided to hold a recession. We in the media have decided we're going to hold a recession and invite everybody. So it's a recession now. It's coming. No matter what you say, it's coming. And so could you comment on the pending economic destruction of America's economy and the doom? She asks. Listen to her just repeating the talking point. And IMF head Christine Lagarde says something unbelievable. There's no recession, honey. And listen to the growth rate she forecasts. These are globalist folks. They hate Trump. Listen to this. And remember it when you hear it repeated 55 times this week that we're headed into a recession.
But it is true that if...
Oh, wait, I hit the wrong one. That's sorry about that. All right, here we go. Let's hit it again.
You are seeing in the marketplace right now some concern that the engines of growth here in the U.S. have been chugging along, but the markets showed some real worry this mm-hmm. week. What do you forecast here? Are we headed towards the recession that some fear?
Recession. Okay, I'm sorry.
Not in the short term. This is not what we see. We have a forecast for this year and next, which is around 3.7%. It's not bad, actually. And we don't see signs of recession in the near term based on the information we have at the moment.
Okay, 3.7%. She is forecasting the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, one of the leading international indicators of what direction the country and the world are going, 3.7% growth for the United States of America. And she's like, recession? No. Whoa. Where'd you get that? Oh, well, every other bubblehead in the media is saying recession, so I am too. Now, she continues talking about tariffs. Listen to what she says.
But it is true that if there are more tensions, if trade is under threats, if people sort of wonder, where should I invest? And should I completely change my supply chain? That will have an impact. It will have an impact on people.
Yeah, she's right. If the media can talk up this idea that tariffs are going to cause a recession, then you may be able to see some folks changing, you know, what they do with their supply chain. But is it happening? No. She says, if it happens. That is the best economic analysis I've heard recently.
Because, you know, if you look at the low-income family today, thanks to trade, the cost of living are reduced by two-thirds. So, you know, the clothes that we're wearing, the many of the things that we're using are made in Vietnam, Morocco, China, wherever. If we lose the benefit of that, then it will have an impact on consumers. We're not seeing it now, it's true, but that's the threat.
We're not seeing it now. We are the IMF, the leading global liberal talking heads, and we are forecasting 3.7% growth for the next year. You see the look on her face. You can't see it. It's ready. Recession? No. And no. Yeah. And wait, listen to what she's saying about tariffs. That's not happening. Okay, why are we not seeing that with tariffs? We should be. No, we should be. But it's because Trump is not doing tariffs the way that anybody's ever done tariffs before. Your traditional tariff says we're going to slap a big tax on something coming into the country to give our manufacturers an advantage so they can make it here, which leads to really high-priced goods. Trump hasn't done that. He has selectively put tariffs punitively on the products of countries that will not come to the negotiating table. His demand is not that they stop manufacturing and shipping to the U.S. He wants them to. He wants them to remove their trade barriers. This is why we're still getting the cheap stuff that we need to keep the cost of living low here. That is not Trump's aim. His aim is, if you got barriers to our stuff, we're slapping tariffs on your stuff. But if you take the tariff barrier down to our stuff, we'll take it off yours, send all your cheap stuff here. We'll compete with you head on. That's why you're not seeing a decrease in cheap clothes, cheap goods. By the way, Vietnam has come to the negotiating table. So they're not getting hit on tariffs on stuff like that. And that's why the cost of the tariffs has not been passed along to the consumer. So I know I tell you this stuff all the time. You might think I make it up. Christine Legrand, folks, head of the IMF, saying the same thing your humble host did last week. Going to jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Here's what we've asked you to do today. If you are driving in, let us know if there's any rough spots. I drove in hours ago when it was colder and all that. I had no problems. They did a marvelous job on the roads. And the main roads were great. I thought the secondary roads might be a bit of a mess. They weren't. I mean, the only problem I had was in my neighborhood. And it wasn't much. I had a little bit of a slide on a very steep hill, but nothing I couldn't handle. So I, at least in my experience, the diciest place so far has been my neighborhood and the parking lot here, which I blame our fill-in producer for. They called him in at 4 a.m. and had him scrape the parking lot. So you must have missed a spot there. If you could go out at the break and get it, that'd be a... He says, thumbs up. Okay, that'd be great. Yeah, so there you go. But other than that, no, everything great. Texter writes, a small carport behind my home collapsed. By the way, the ice on my granddaughter's car, not good. Yeah, so just little stuff like that. But that's it as far as I know. I know that they had over 60 trees down across the upstate as of yesterday. So some of that I'm sure they've cleared for the road, other stuff. I know folks are without power. We had a lineman text us earlier on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line just to say, hey, listen, it's all going to refreeze tonight. He says, I'm a lineman for Duke working in Greenville. We are working out in this weather around the clock. Be patient if your power is out. We don't want to be out working on your power any longer than you want to be without power. So watch out for those guys. They're out there today. It's still kind of gray. It's hazardous conditions for them. They're working really hard. We really appreciate them doing that. And just, yeah, be on the lookout for that and for trees. This is the kind of weather that brings down trees. It's not the ice, even. It's just so wet. There was so much rain before that snow and sleet and mess came down. And when that happens, especially older, weakened trees, they just lose their grip on the soil and they come, you know, flying right over. Texter writes, I bet you won't read this. How much did BMW pay you to say the roads are fine? I have a non-disclosure agreement. Like Stormy Daniels, I can't say. But thanks for asking. 800-347-1063. Text line 71307. Texter writes to Lee, it's called blackmail. What Stormy Daniels did to Trump, yeah. So keep us posted again. The text line 71307. By the way, the airport is open. If you've got a flight out today, they are open and they're telling folks check with your carrier to see what times your flights are going to, a whole bunch of whole mess of flights canceled overnight. Okay, so we're talking about tariffs. What's going on? The economic news is so good, especially the manufacturing news. Even the Wall Street Journal admitting 17 straight months of expansion. Again, folks, just keep in mind, this was never supposed to happen. It was never supposed to happen, and yet it is. Here's Peter Navarro taking on Maria Bartiromo on the tariffs. And she's using that the same talking points. All the media are using, well, you know, because the tariffs, we're having a recession now. And I just played you Christine Lagrange of the IMF saying, no, there's no recession. We're forecasting 3.7% growth for the coming year. They're trying to talk us into a recession. It's a challenge when the rest of the indicators for the economy outside of housing and auto sales are awesome. And the only reason housing and auto sales are down is because of the interest rate hikes, which Peter Navarro corrects Maria Bartiromo on. Take a listen.
S&P down in negative territory for 2018 on worries over trade tariffs, higher interest rates. We all know the tariffs were your idea. People are worried that these higher tariffs are cutting into companies' ability to grow because input costs are going higher. That's crushing profit margins and hurting the stock market. So what are you going to do about it?
And he corrects her here. That's a load of bull.
First of all, I think that's a false narrative in terms of the impact of the tariffs on the stock market. My view is that this is strictly an interest rate effect. I think the Fed went too far, too fast. And what we saw basically was a little asset reallocation from the stock to the bond market.
Okay. Economics 101, this is how this works. When rates go up, when interest rates go up, that's bad if you're buying a house or a car, right? Your rates, you're paying a point higher on a house right now than you were a year ago because they did the rate hike so fast. But if you're an investor, that's good. Because now you got more options. You got higher interest rates means you, the investor, get paid more. So what do? Pull your money out of the stock market. You diversify it a little because, you know, the rates on CDs have been crappy. You don't even hear about CDs anymore, do you? The rates on other investments have been crappy. Now they're a little better. People pull money out of the market. When you raise interest rates, you always get money flowing out of the market. Always. Always. Never changes. And so they're, what, interest rate hike of, you know, on your home mortgage, like an interest rate, it's about a point this year. Of course money's flowing out of the market. The media is ignoring that and going, tariff, tariff, tariff. You just heard from Christine Lagrange, now tariffs aren't having an effect yet. They might eventually, but they're not now. All right, coming up on the show, see what's going on in France. French protesters now calling for Frexit, EU exit, as Emmanuel Macron fails to control deadly Paris riots. What does this all mean? It's very important for you. I'll tell you how, coming up next. Good morning. Going to jump on the line with meteorologist Megan Mulford with the 106.3 WORD Weather Center to find out what's going on out there and especially, Megan, what we can expect over the next 24 to 48 hours. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, luckily in our area, we're kind of dodging most of this snow activity to our north. We're seeing in parts of North Carolina some heavy snow out there, and it looks like in and around the Greenville area, not too bad. We're just going to see rain likely as we head through the day. We're going to see temperatures above freezing. We'll see highs right around 38. That storm system will continue to push off towards the east for today, bringing us some a little bit of some chances for some rain for tonight. Could mix in with a little bit of some patchy freezing drizzle. We're not expecting to see any sort of ice accumulation from this, but some areas could be slick. And looks like by tomorrow, this system will be out of our area. Now, we do have a winter storm warning in our area. Like I said, that's just kind of covering a major part of the area. Just means that we're going to see some rain showers, like I said, here early, maybe a little bit of some mixed precipitation. But otherwise, just expect to see rain as we head through the day.
Okay. And so that the thing I'm wondering is I'm looking at it going down to 20, for today, for instance, it's supposed to go down 29 degrees overnight. Are we going to have any freezing problems?
Yeah, that's why I said a little bit. A little bit of some patchy freezing drizzle and then some freezing fog overnight. Like I said, that's not going to bring us any accumulation. It just means that freezing fog causes for that black ice. So it may look okay outside, but those roads could be slick in some areas, especially on side roads that aren't treated as well as over bridges. So just kind of be careful with that.
And I'm kind of wondering, Tuesday's looking pretty clear, but the night is supposed to go back down to 26 degrees. You think that it'll be dried up?
No, we don't have any. Nope, we don't have any chances for fog for Tuesday night. Our next system will move through as we head into Wednesday night into Thursday. As of right now, just bringing us isolated chances for a little bit of some rain and snow showers mixed late. But as of right now, nothing should be accumulating from that.
Okay, Megan Mulford, I don't mean to put you on the spot if you don't know this off
top
of your
head.
It's okay. But it seems like these are unseasonably cold temperatures for this time of year. Or am I wrong there?
Let me look. I actually have this up right now. Our highs for this time of year are actually right around 54, 55 degrees. So we're definitely seeing quite a cold snap out there thanks to this low pressure system and these winds aloft out of the northwest. So we're going to see highs only 38 for today and pretty much below average for this time of year as we head over the next several days. It looks like 45 for tomorrow, 47 for Wednesday, 44 Thursday. And we'll start to see those temperatures creep back up into the 50s as we head towards the end of the week, continuing into the weekend.
All right. Well, folks, then obviously going to need to plan for another morning tomorrow, Megan Mulford, of potentially cautious driving as we get back down into some below freezing temperatures overnight. Maybe some of the wet stuff hangs around. Thank you so much for checking in from the 106.3 WORD Weather Center. Really appreciate that. All right. Perry in Greenville has a road condition report for us. Hey, Perry.
Yeah, Tara, the biggest hazard on the road this morning is these mental midgets who go rolling through an intersection where the traffic signals not operate. Please tell them to treat it as a four-way stop and we'd all be fine.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, but Perry, you know what I saw the other day? I have seen things here in South Carolina that I have never in my driving life seen before. I didn't see this, but my husband did. You ready for this one? Somebody
kept...
Okay, stop, red light, right? Now, red means stop in other places traditionally, right? Stop. So it's a full-on red light. So my husband comes up to the intersection. It has long since turned red, right, and stops. Well, that annoys the guy behind him who wanted to run the light clear into the red. The guy goes up, comes up beside my husband, and then goes through the red light.
That happened to me 3 times yesterday at signals that were working.
Dang. People went around you when you were in front of them and stopped?
Sure. Yeah, they don't understand. The most dangerous thing they're going to do today is get behind the wheel.
Dang.
Like I said, mental midgets. Thanks.
Yeah, well, and thank you, Perry. But I want to add to what, kind of Perry said here. Seeing this in the red light running in this area is like nothing I have ever seen before. You have got to, particularly if you live here, again, highest per capita. Every year I've been here, we've either been number one, number two, or number three, highest per capita road fatality rate in the entire country. In South Carolina and the upstate is worse than the state average. So you're driving the most dangerous place you can be driving in, and that's before the winter weather. I'm going to give you some idea. The fatality rate here in the upstate last year was double the national fatality rate, 2 times. I mean, this is insane. And one of the things you can do to protect yourself if you're new here or you've lived here for a long time and you're dealing with a lot of drivers who are new here and seem to be crazy, even if it says green, clear on go, it was yellow 5 minutes ago for the other drivers in the intersection, I'm telling you, be careful. Treat it as if it were a four-way stop or no stop at all. I'm talking look both ways in those intersections. Double check them because people do crazy things here. I have never seen the red light running like I've seen here. I've seen plenty of people drive through the yellow. The last minute gunned it. We've all done that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about it was yellow and that was 40 seconds ago. It's been red for 40 seconds and they want to screech through the intersection and they don't care who's coming. And yeah. And so with these intersections out and the blinking lights and all that kind of stuff, you just be careful out there, folks. It's just a mess. All right. Coming up on the show, see what's happening in France. I got a question for you about France. It'd be very interesting. So some of my Facebook followers got very angry with me over the weekend about something I wrote. So I want to tell you what I wrote and I want to get your response to it. Did you see what's going on? They are setting cars on fire. They're trashing stuff, graffiti, whole nine yards. They had a flamethrower at one point a couple weeks ago. And they're out there in the streets. A couple of people have died, although most of those have been accidents. And they got what they wanted. They got rid of the global warming taxes on their gasoline. Now they want Frexit. the French equivalent of Brexit, and they say they're not giving up. I got a question about this for you. I have it up next.